This is Vatican Radio. Father Christopher Clohessi, a professor at the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies, said it's crucial that Egypt's suffering Christian minority feels the pastoral closeness of Pope Francis during his 24-hour visit to Cairo. The priest, who spent years living and working in the Egyptian capital, also said that the Pope's tireless work for good interfaith relations and his meetings with other religious leaders represent another important aspect of the papal visit. He was interviewed by Linda Bordoni.
Well, the first thing is that Al-Azhar, of course, has always been or was seen for many years as the centre of Islamic orthodoxy, so that in a sense Egypt was the centre and the heart of the Islamic world, at least the Sunni Islamic world. Everybody looked to Al-Azhar for official declarations about what was or was not Islam. That doesn't happen so much anymore, in that there are now so many factions and the Islamic world is so divided that people are inclined to look at their own experts. We, as a church, had a very shaky relationship with Al-Azhar. At moments, it's been very good. At other moments, quite bad. I can remember going to a meeting years ago in Cairo with the then Pope Shenouda, who insisted that Pope Paul VI had broken off relationships with the church in the Coptic Church in Cairo and also Al-Azhar. Al-Azhar themselves broke off relationships for a while and then restarted them and then broke them again during the time of Pope Benedict XVI in a response to his Regensburg address. So at the moment, they're beginning to warm again, Al-Azhar and us, and we've just sent a delegation over for a theological conference. But Al-Azhar still remains very important in the Islamic world as a center of teaching and learning. It is the oldest and the greatest of the Islamic universities, and therefore it is important for us to maintain, at the very least, a theological relationship with them. And hopefully this is going to be strengthened by the Pope's visit.
Before we get to the Pope's visit, this conference for peace that Al-Azhar has organized, why at this moment?
It could be as an attempt to keep and to warm up the relationship with Rome, which has just begun to get off the ground again. It could also be in response to the fact that Al-Azhar is very aware that the Christian minority in Egypt is a suffering minority, that the Christians in Egypt are not treated as first-class citizens in terms of religious freedom. Aside from physical attacks, and this has been an horrific thing, generally from day to day, Egyptian Christians suffer as a minority in an Islamic majority country. And I can remember talking to Christians when I lived there and meeting them and going to their churches. You know, if your church was damaged or needed to be renovated, you weren't allowed to do that without the permission of the then president, Hosni Mubarak. Unless you had his specific permission, you couldn't alter a church or rebuild. So the Christians suffered, and now added to the suffering are these attacks in Cairo on the Coptic Christians. Those are not the only attacks. They're the most publicized, but for a number of years now, there have been violent attacks against groups of Christians, especially in the north. This might well be Al-Azhar's realization that they really need to take cognizance of this because they have to face the Christian world, and it could be that too. But of course, Egypt also has been through its own revolution, Arab winter or Arab spring, depending on which way you look at it. They now have not a radical Islamic government, but a military government under General Sisi, who would probably be quite open. He has already, I think, met Francis and would be quite open to being challenged, perhaps a little by Francis, in a way that he needs to be challenged in terms of the Christians, both the Catholic Coptic and the Orthodox Copts, and how they're treated and the freedoms that they are given in terms of worship, and in something about protecting their churches and their institutions.
He has, in fact, made a few overtures towards the Christians in the country. I think he participated in some ceremonies over Christmas, if I'm not mistaken, which is something no Egyptian president had done until today.
Look, you know, it's difficult for us as non-Egyptians outside of Egypt, but Sisi is a non-radical Muslim. In other words, he's somewhat of a secular compared to the Brotherhood leadership that they had for a while. And so he is going to attempt in every way possible to reach out to all the branches of the population, because Military governments are never particularly popular anyway, but they do provide a certain strong arm when they need to. And it well may be now that the Christians under Pope Shenouda, the Copts, and the Catholic Christians, who are a much smaller group, are going to look to Sisi as a non-Islamist, as a secular Muslim. And by secular, I don't mean non-practicing. I mean that he's not a radical Muslim. To offer them certain protections and certain guarantees for their freedom of worship and their freedom of lifestyle.
The Grand Imam himself has already met Pope Francis. He came to the Vatican shortly after Pope Francis's election in 2013. The Pope's going back to pay a visit to him. It seems to be a strong statement in itself. What kind of relationship do you see the two men as having?
Look, they are both keen, I think, to maintain this relationship between the Vatican and Al-Azhar, and they're both keen, probably, to maintain some sort of dialogue. I'm glad that he's meeting the Sheikh of Al-Azhar. This is an important thing. My desire and my wish is that he would speak firstly to the Christians, that he would arrive there as an elder brother, both to the Catholics themselves and also to the Coptic Orthodox, who form perhaps 10 or more percent of the Egyptian population. You're looking at a population of 92 million. So 10% of 92 million is not an insubstantial number. No matter what he may say to the Sheikh of Al-Azhar, no matter what foundations they may lay for future Islamic Christian dialogue, I would hope that his first role is as a pastor for a suffering church, that he would speak words of hope and comfort to the members of the church, both the Catholics and the other Christians who are present, and speak what has to be said. That is, that the Christians have the right to freedom of worship, to a certain level of security. The Christians in Egypt need to hear him speak to them. The truth is, no matter how much we dialogue, the Christian community in the Middle East and in North Africa, the minority communities living in Islamic majority countries, have been decimated in the last few years. And this is the tragic reality that we have to face. While he is there in person, his primary role must be the pastor who comes among his own people, you know, as Joseph came among his brothers in the Old Testament, and allows them to recognize him for who he is, their pastor, their shepherd, but also their brother, and comfort them, speak words of comfort to them. Even if he is unable to change their situation, the fact that he has spoken to them from his heart would be a wonderful thing for the church in the Middle East and in North Africa.
So finally, Father Christopher, as someone who's lived in Cairo, who knows the Christians and the population, how do you think they are expecting or to receive Pope Francis? What is their sentiment at this moment?
Look, the truth is that I loved Cairo and I loved the Egyptians. It was one of the warmest, kindest places I lived in. I never experienced any persecution, any sort of ill feeling. And I found the Egyptians enormously peaceful people, not warlike at all. And therefore, these terrible acts of violence are not the acts of your average Egyptian, Muslim or Christian. Therefore, I would hope that his visit would keep relations going because it's a beautiful country and it's an important country, and the Egyptian people are a wonderful people. You know, the Christian church in Egypt is one of the oldest churches in civilization. But Egypt as a country, as a place, has a magnificent and ancient history, far older than Rome, of course. It goes back far more millennia. And for the sake of the wonderful country and these marvelous people, I hope that his visit will be uneventful in the sense that he would be safe, but that whatever he says, whatever he does, would resonate in all hearts, not just Christian, but Muslim as well. The countless marvelous Egyptian Muslims who I've met and worked with and learned from.
Thank you very, very much indeed. Is there anything you'd like to add?
This is the time when we always say we pray and hope for world peace, and we do. Things are not looking happy or healthy anywhere at the moment. There seems to be an enormous amount of anger and violence just among ordinary people. And I'm hoping that by listening to people like Francis, not only Francis, but other really good religious leaders, somehow we can draw grace from their words and find a way back to living in tranquility and living in serenity with each other, even if we're not in agreement with each other's politics or each other's religion, that we could live in tranquility side by side. This would be a wonderful thing.
And that was the voice of Father Christopher Clohessy, a professor at the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies, interviewed by Linda Bordoni.